Good morning. I'm the Reverend Mark Harrington preaching this morning. Pastor Roy Miller spent a lot of the week in the hospital, so I am leading the service and preaching in his place this morning. Let's take a moment and quiet our hearts in preparation for worship, and then we will have our call to worship. These words are taken from Isaiah chapter 6, the first few verses. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And then I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Let us pray. Our God, we are thankful that you have made provision for the awful sin that has afflicted us or delighted us, in which we are buried, and in which we would move if it were not for your grace. God, the earth is full of your glory, and you would be delighted to be worshiped by all creatures. And you have purged our sins with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and brought us into this place to worship you. And we are here for your blessing rather than for your curse now. Our God, we give you thanks for these things. We ask that you would meet with each person gathered here. It is good for us to see one another, but it is better for each person to be touched by you, face to face with you, enjoying your very presence by your Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask that you would bless us in that way. Meet with us as you have called us. Father, we ask too that you would listen to our prayers, and we bring them to you in the name of the one who taught us to say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." We will read from the Word of God at this time. I'll read from Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 19. You are more than welcome to follow along in your own Bible. One way or another, let us give ear to the word of the Lord. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath, which condemned them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright like a heap, and the depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them, and I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them, they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You, in your mercy, have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them by the greatness of your arm. They will be as still as a stone till your people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountains of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And thus far, the reading of God's word. We will confess our faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed. You can find them on page 852 here in the Psalter hymnal. Let us confess these words together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who, for us men and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. But let us gather and unite our hearts together in prayer now. Prayer for one another, for the church as a whole. Father, it is good to know of your love. It's good to know that your love never changes. Your purposes never change. Your interest in your people never changes. Your devotion to our needs. Indeed, you have bent all of your will and your mercy and your might in the direction of our salvation. And you will preserve us in those things because it brings honor and glory to your name. You will lead your people home. The Lord Jesus will have every one of his sheep in his hands, in his sheepfold. And Father, we are glad for these things. It is good to know you as Father. We are in your household. We are your children. We are your delight. You are eager for us to bring our petitions to you. And all of the cares that might cross our minds or our hearts, all of those things are of interest to you. Indeed, you know about these things before we even do. And in your mercy and in your wisdom, you do handle them. And we are blessed to voice them to you, delighting in your presence, knowing of your care, expecting your answers, depending upon you. Father, we are glad for these things. And Father, we do ask that your blessing would rest upon this congregation. We are glad for everyone who is here. We trust that you will maintain this congregation. We trust this pulpit will always be a place where the gospel is preached. And this congregation would continue to be a light, to continue to be a place where people are faithful to your word, eager to live it, eager to share it with others. Father, we would ask that you would bless this congregation in this way. And we ask that you would do that, of course, with other congregations that meet in your name. We ask that you would do that across our denomination. May it ever be faithful in serving you. But Father, we do ask that you would take care of the cares that afflict everybody here. Teach us to care for one another, reminding us that you care for us and encouraging us and teaching us in that way. But Father, we do ask that you would receive our prayers today, that we ask that we would be blessed as we bring them to you. We ask that you would appreciate and be glad to hear them, contemplate them in your wisdom, and answer them in your mercy and in your might. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see. Okay. Have a New Testament lesson here. Book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Let's see. And I have, what verses have we chosen? Okay, book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And again, let us hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to some, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and discourages every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And thus far, the reading of God's word. Well, sometimes in your life, it gets really late in the week, And it starts dawning on you that you might be the preacher on Sunday. And you wonder, what will I preach? What shall I preach? And sometimes a calendar might help you out. We are not very calendar-oriented in this church. We don't latch on to some ancient church tradition. And usually we pay almost no attention to the card companies who try to deliver their instructions from on high. But I thought, this is Father's Day on a calendar, might as well do a Father's Day sermon. Even though it was really recently that we worked on that commandment in the afternoon. Very, very recently, I do have to acknowledge that. And I want to promise that this sermon will be different from the coverage that we had on that commandment in the catechism. It will be different whether it seems different to you or not. I know that it's different at least. And I thought, instead of using the catechism's steering, how about if we just let the scripture comment on fathers and let it speak in its own way? The word father occurs 1,511 times in the New King James Version that you might have in your hands or in the pew. And I thought, can I look at every place that the word father shows up? No. I only got from Genesis through 1 Samuel. And consequently, if I wind up leaving out your favorite verse, sorry about that. But you can always read your favorite verse and turn it into your own sermon if you want. And by the way, if my New Testament lesson this morning gets you all excited about that particular passage in Hebrews, sorry. This is not going to be an exposition of that passage. I did want to read a passage where fathers are spoken of as well as God as Father. Sorry about that. Okay? But let's contemplate some of the things that we learn about fathers in the Bible. And perhaps one of the most important themes about fathers in the Old Testament, certainly, is at least hinted at in the first use of the word father in Genesis chapter 2. Now, we all know that Adam was supposed to be the first father, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The idea of fatherhood is mentioned in chapter 1, but the word father itself comes in chapter 2. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother. And this actually turns into a relatively important theme in the early part of the New Testament, Old Testament, excuse me. But look at the words for a moment and realize if somebody's got to be ordered to leave, if somebody is told a man should leave, must be a good place. Being with father and mother must be a good thing. And the phrase, my father's house, my father's house, my father's house, it shows up again and again. I'm not going to try to read every. The fact of being leaving one's father's house, some sorrow in it. Even Abraham, who's told to go, several times mentions, the Lord made me leave my father's house. Or Jacob, I want to get back to my father's house. I want to get back to my being in the presence of one's father and mother is such a strong thing in the minds of so many of the characters in the early part of the Old Testament. Joseph missed his father's house while he was in Egypt. Why he named his oldest son Manasseh. He said, I have been at loose ends while being away from my father's house. And then even in burial, how many times does it say he was gathered to his father's? Or how many times did a character say, take me back and bury me where my fathers are buried? You see, in a variety of ways, Scripture represents home or the father's house as a place of blessing. A place that it's good to be, a place that it's normal to be, a place that being away from is somewhat of a pain. You know, back when Sherry and I lived in Philadelphia, we would go to visit her family. Sherry's an only child. Her parents loved her very, very dearly. And I was really glad at times to leave Philadelphia, dump everything that everybody wanted me to do there, just go. Because getting back to her house, her folks' house, it was like a place of refuge, a place of safety. That was what it was like to go to her house. Some years ago, I was, you know, we used to live back east. We were back in Omaha visiting. Pastor of my parents' church saw me and said, "What are you doing in Omaha, Mark?" And I just said, "We're just back to visit." He says, "Isn't that great? Isn't it fabulous to be there at your father's table again, where somebody is kind of absolutely making sure you are fed and cared for and you feel like a kid? Isn't that great?" So I told you about Sherry's house. Dave Erickson told you about my father's house. Being with the Father is a good thing. The Father's house is the normal place for someone. Let me go on a little bit. One thing that shows up and again is that fathers are a blessing in children's lives. I don't know if I got the best sample here, but try this. God speaks to the people in Exodus 22, "You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child, for my wrath will become hot and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives shall be widows and your children fatherless." It's like saying, what is the worst experience you can imagine? Being fatherless. Another way a father could be a blessing in his child's life, a father could deliver a young woman, a young daughter, still at home, from obligations of a rash vow. It's good to have fathers in your life, wisdom, experience. And somebody has to be strong in the experience of the children, strong and tender at the same time. We sang Psalm 103 a little while ago. A father pities his children. A father pities his children. It goes on to talk about how the Lord cares for Israel while Israel is in distress. The Lord has the compassion and the ability to deliver the nation from distress. And in that way, he is like a father who pities his children. The father would bend all of his faculties, facilities, to care for his children. Many years ago, I was a guest in a family home for dinner. I was back before I knew Sherry. I was single, and the host had a little compassion on me. But they also had a couple other families visiting them. And there was a moment in the afternoon where somehow or other, three or four men, they were fathers, I was not, but we played a game of jackstraws together. I don't know if I'd ever played jackstraws before. I always knew it, but, you know, how often do fathers sit around? Anyway, one of the guys playing was incredibly adept. You know, he was clearing the table, wasting us away, every straw that he put his finger on. And I'm looking at him and I'm saying, I've told the story I know before, but anyway, I'm looking at him saying, "Are you a watchmaker or a brain surgeon?" I mean, he was that good with his fingers. And he stops in the middle of a straw and looks at me and says, "I'm a stevedore. I move big things around on the docks in Chicago." Any other questions? And then I noticed his muscles, but now at any rate, he was an incredible combination of strength and tenderness. And he had a baby son who loved crawling all over him. Okay? It's good for kids to have in their experience somebody who is strong and tender at the same time. Another thing, fathers are looked to for crucial information. You don't have to take this one too seriously, but listen to Isaac. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Kids ask fathers questions. I don't know, I have no idea how much Isaac understood things at that moment. But it's good to have a source of information in your life. Deuteronomy 6:7. You shall teach these sayings diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Teach your children. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? It's great when fathers are a source of information to their children. A few months ago, my son Luke kind of blessed me when he said, most of what I know, I learned from Dad. He kind of blessed me because he went on to say, and most of what Dad knows, he made up. But he knows a lot. Okay. All right. Of all of our kids, Luke might be the one who knows the most. For him to say, most of what I know, I learned from Dad. That felt good. It made me think I had done something right as a father. And I hope I did. But it's not just information that fathers impart to children. It can be skills as well. Genesis 46:34. You shall say, your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth, even till now, both we and also our fathers. Generations of shepherds learn from generations of shepherds, right? That's so impressive to Pharaoh that he says, if you know any competent man among them, make them chief herdsmen over my livestock. Employable skills. Learn from the fathers. And by the way, girls, you're involved as well. There were girls who were shepherds in the Old Testament. Rachel, Zipporah, and her sisters. Okay? Shepherds learning from shepherds. Generations. Okay? I know my own daughter never learned anything about shepherding from me. I do know she learned how to drive from me. All right? That was one skill that I showed her. Now she's got licenses on 2 continents. All right? I'm glad I taught her how to drive. And fathers can be great resource people. There are times that they actually provide important things. Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, get me this young woman as a wife. Then Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. Hamor spoke with him, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him as a wife. You all know how that story wound up, but I am trying to illustrate it, how the old man intercedes for the son, seeking the wife that he wants. That's not the only time that sort of thing happened as well. And it's not just boys who sometimes ask for this kind of help. Sometimes the girls do too. I couldn't find a story in the Old Testament. I have one from modern America, but I won't take the time to tell it, I guess. And it's not just marriage where fathers provide. 2 times when I was a teenager, I got a job interview because my dad talked to a couple of business owners. Fathers provide. And if you want me to get back to the serious, remember the blessing of their father meant everything to both Jacob and Esau. I've got the words of Esau here. Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me! Me also! Oh, my father! And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. What their father could provide meant everything to them. Jacob and Esau both. Esau doesn't get a lot of good press, but he knew what he needed from his father. And it's good when fathers provide for their children. Now it happened when she came to him, daughter of Caleb, came to her husband. He urged her to ask her father for a field. And she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, What do you wish? So she said to him, give me a blessing, since you have given me land in the south. Give me also springs of water. And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Fathers provide, and it's good when they provide. And fathers are supposed to behave for the sake of their children and further generations. Talking about a priest, God says, nor shall he profane his posterity among his people, for I, the Lord, sanctify him. It was important what a priest did for the sake of his offspring, his sons, his generations. If a priest was ever cut out of the priesthood, he'd probably have nothing. His posterity would have nothing. It was important how he behaved as a man for the sake of his future generations. That's a variety of things that are mentioned, illustrated, told about various places in the Old Testament. What about the children of fathers? Does the Bible say anything about the children of fathers? Let me show you a few things that I've got here. One thing, affection between fathers and children is a good thing. Then his father Isaac said to him, Jacob, come near now and kiss me, my son. Or Judah, pleading with that guy who's running Egypt, so concerned for his father's heart and feelings, says, how shall I go up to my father if the lad Benjamin is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father. I do not want to see him die of a broken heart. And when Jacob gets down to Egypt, several times Joseph says, hurry and bring my father down here. And he sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father for the journey. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel, and he presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept a good while. Then Joseph fell on his father's face and wept over him and kissed him. And even Esau, who doesn't get a lot of press, thinks of mourning for his father when his father dies. And you recall, too, Esau and Jacob together buried Isaac and mourned for him together. Affection with one's father is a good thing. Open communication with one's father is a good thing. Jonathan talks about Saul and says, my father will do nothing, either great or small, without first telling me. Says that to David for the sake of David learning about things. Nothing without first telling me. Interestingly, the story of Jonathan, you have a very relatively famous chapter. At the beginning, it says he didn't tell his father his plans. Later, in the same chapter, it says he didn't hear his father's orders. We wouldn't have had that chapter without a little breakdown in the communication there. But ordinarily, it seems like Jonathan says, Saul, my father, would tell me whatever is important. You also notice that it doesn't hurt to know what your father likes. Going out of the flock and bring me from there 2 choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death. Sit and eat of my game that your soul may bless me. Then Esau also made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of this, his son's game, that your soul may bless me. Affection, knowledge, appreciation, those are all good things. And maybe most importantly of all of this, it is good to know your father's God. And this theme might be mentioned the most all over the Old Testament. Just the very words of God himself to the various persons. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. Laban, talking to Jacob, says this, It is in my power to do you harm, but the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. And then Jacob himself, speaking to Laban, says, Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. Earlier, we read Exodus 15 earlier. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. If your father is faithful to the true God, it is good to know his God. Some years ago, you know, my mother died. And Lyle Nilsen, everybody know Lyle, the brother of Bob? We used to have Bob here. Lyle is a retired medical doctor, also a former missionary in Africa. Great guy, lives in Omaha, knows my dad a little bit, came to my mother's funeral. Listened to various members of my extended family talk, either about her or my... And after all was said and done, Lyle walked up to me and says, Mark, isn't having a Christian family a blessing? That was the best thing said that night. Okay? This unique blessing, you know, just one line. He was blessed to, you know, see my extended family and friends and all that, hear them talk about my family, and he came to me and said, isn't having a Christian family a blessing? You read how fathers and their relationship with God are mentioned. It is good to know your father's God. I've barely scratched the surface. We could have used umpteen verses for a whole lot of these things. I try to pick the best. But all these things that are true of fathers and children are based on the fatherhood of God himself. See how God speaks of himself back then. Israel is my firstborn son. I carried you as a man carries his son. Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who bought you? Has he not made you and established you? Of the rock who begot you, you were unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you. Various places where God speaks of himself as father. There's not many places in the Old Testament where the word father is simply applied to God like those. But notice that word bought. I read Deuteronomy 32, 6. Is he not your father who bought you? And hear the words of Isaiah 63, 17. Doubtless you are our father. Abraham was ignorant of us, and Israel does not acknowledge us. You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from everlasting is your name. One verse says the Father who bought you. One says Father, your Redeemer. The word redeem, the word bought, really the same word. And notice in Isaiah 63, 16, the word Father is placed parallel with Redeemer. God is spoken of as Redeemer all over the Bible. If sometimes may seem a little rare that he's mentioned as Father, but he is spoken of Redeemer everywhere. And you have been redeemed thanks to the actions of the New Testament, the giving of his Son, Jesus Christ, the declaration of all those things, you have been redeemed by the very blood of Christ, the Son of the Father himself. And you know all about God as Father. J.I. Packer once wrote, "Father is the Christian name for God. The Son has made him known." And if you have rejoiced to review anything that I've said this morning about father-child relationships, just remember they are rooted in the very nature of God and in his own redeeming dedication. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we possibly could say all kinds of things about our fathers or about fathers we know, fathers we advise. We could possibly say all kinds of things about them, but Father, your word says many good things about fathers. We're glad for those things, Father. We are glad for them. We're glad that you have revealed yourself throughout all creation, partly through giving fathers. We would hope that there would be a good father in every family. We would hope, Father, that people knowing good things in their fathers would come to appreciate and acknowledge you as the great Father of lights, Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who redeems and the one who brings into your family and blessing. Father, we would ask that there would be a countless number of people who would know these things. Father, we would pray for fathers that we know. We would ask that fathers would be better fathers. We pray that they would be strengthened in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus for that. Father, we pray for children. We'd ask that they would delight in their fathers, appreciate them, honor them for all things good within them, even pray for them in mistakes and sins. And Father, we would ask that every one of us would be flooded with this knowledge of you, appreciation for you. I ask that the Holy Spirit would have that ministry in each of our lives. And Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.